Have you ever wondered why exactly it is that things usually sound better at home than they do on stage, in auditions, or even in lessons? It's easy to chalk it up to nerves or assume that you just have to practice more or get more performance experience. And sure, those things certainly are part of the puzzle, but a lot of times that's not really the true root cause. If you've been confused by the inconsistency of your performances, I put together a free 4-minute quiz called the Mental Skills Audit, which will help you pinpoint your mental strengths and weaknesses and figure out what exactly to adjust and tweak in your preparation for more consistently optimal performances. You can take the Mental Skills Audit online at bulletproofmusician.com/MSA. That's MSA for Mental Skills Audit. And again, it's 100% free, and it'll take just 4 minutes to get your results emailed to you as a PDF. Hi, this is Noah Kageyama, and you're listening to the Bulletproof Musician Practice Hack of the Week. From tennis great Billie Jean King to pianist Glenn Gould, imagery has long been a staple of athletes' and musicians' bag of practice tools. When visualizing, a general rule of thumb is that you want whatever it is that you're imagining to be pretty close to the actual real-life experience that you're working towards. The same sounds, the same kinesthetic sensations, the same visuals. Take tempo, for instance. If it normally takes you about 13 minutes to play the first movement of the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto, the visualized version should probably take about 13 minutes too. And if you end up at the finish line in 3 minutes, you know something's probably a little off. But when it comes to regular physical practice, we don't always practice or play things in real time. Lots of folks swear by slow practice. And some even advocate for practicing things faster than you'd ever play them in performance too. So could there be any benefit to doing super slow or super fast mental practice as well? 9 baseball players from youth travel teams volunteered to participate in an imagery study. Everyone started out with a baseline assessment of their swing, swinging away at real baseballs in a batting cage at a training facility they were all familiar with. After a short warm-up period, the participants all took 4 unofficial practice swings, followed by 4 official swings that were video recorded and evaluated by the general manager of the facility, who was a former baseball player and collegiate and international level coach. Once a baseline level of performance was established, the participants received a brief crash course in a few basic imagery concepts, like the difference between seeing images from a first person versus a third-person perspective. And then they learned how to use visualization to practice their swing. Each player practiced visualizing their swing in slow motion, real time, and fast motion. Next, the general manager and each participant entered a batting cage where he demonstrated the swing in both slow motion and in regular speed to give participants a more vivid real-life picture to model their imagery after. Finally, the participants had their first guided mental practice session. One group of participants watched a video of 3 slow motion swings slowed down to 1/3 speed, followed by 3 swings at normal speed. This was the slow plus real time group. Another group watched a video of 3 normal speed swings, followed by 3 fast motion swings sped up to 2x speed. This was the real time plus fast group. Then a final group watched 2 slow motion swings, 2 normal speed swings, and 2 fast motion swings. This was the slow plus real time plus fast group. Participants were also informed that each visualization speed actually had a unique learning purpose. Slow motion imagery, for instance, was to be used as an opportunity to learn and refine the different technical elements of their swing, like the setup, the load, and then the swing. Real-time imagery, on the other hand, was for getting the timing and sequencing of these different components down. And then fast motion imagery was described as an opportunity to, quote, experience the confidence associated with being able to swing a baseball bat extremely fast and to hit a baseball extremely hard. The slow plus real-time and the real-time plus fast groups then did 15 mental repetitions at each swing speed, while the slow plus real-time plus fast group did 10 mental swings at each speed, just to make sure that the total number of mental practice swings was the same across all groups. When they finished up their mental training, they were given a mental imagery journal to log their practice and told to repeat exactly what they just did every day for the next 6 weeks. Meanwhile, every Sunday, they would return to the facility for another guided imagery session just to make sure that the quality of their imagery practice remained high, and then for another swing test to see if there were any changes in their swing from 1 week to the next. So, did anything change? Overall, there were positive improvements over the 6 week period for all three groups. However, the improvements for the slow plus real time group were rather modest, while the real time plus fast group had more noticeable gains. And then the slow plus real time plus fast group made the biggest and most immediate improvements. So the main takeaway seems to be that mental practice at various speeds could indeed be helpful, though the greatest gains may come from a combination of all three. One thing that stuck out to me about the study was the length and amount of mental training. Maybe it's just me, but 6 weeks of daily mental practice seems like a pretty big ask for 14-year-olds who presumably have school and lots of other competing demands and motivations, especially since all of this took place when the baseball season had already ended. Indeed, not everyone stuck to the daily regimen. Only 4 reported practicing every single day, 3 of whom were in the slow plus real-time plus fast group, which had the greatest improvement. Interestingly, the participant who improved the least also missed the most practice sessions. Why is this? Well, I'm not really sure, but I wonder if there was something about the combination of slow, real-time, and fast visualization that was somehow more engaging. Or maybe because the slow plus real-time plus fast group's performance improved more noticeably even in the first week, they might have been more motivated to keep it up. Keep in mind that this was a small sample of participants, and there's more work yet to be done, but experimenting with a combo of slow, regular, and fast speeds does seem like an interesting mental practice hack to experiment with. One thing I haven't quite sorted out in my head is whether fast motion imagery of swinging a baseball bat and fast motion imagery of a tricky passage in music are truly analogous. Like, I could see how imagining yourself generating greater bat head speed with greater ease could translate into a more powerful swing. But what if you're playing a slow movement of Bach, where speed isn't necessarily the goal? Would there be any benefit in visualizing the movement at twice the tempo? Maybe instead of multiplying tempo by a factor of 2, it would be more useful to visualize twice the dynamic contrast, or a 200% juicier sound, or version where all of your musical ideas are cranked up to 11. Of course, if tempo is the main challenge, then maybe a bit of slow, normal, fast mental practice could be the thing that helps to free things up.